statute of limitations.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to open up the Senate Committee on Judiciary. Today we have a number of bills that are set for work session. What I'm going to do, first of all, is go through the bills that are not moving forward. Those who are here wanting to know what the, I guess, the current status of those bills are. They are not moving forward, and these are the four that are not moving forward. And the mystery list is Senate Bill 295, Senate Bill 809, Senate Bill 846, and Senate Bill 974. Those four bills are not going to be moving forward today.
974.
285, 809, 846, 974. So if you're here on those four, you don't need to be here unless you want to watch the other activities. All right, starting at the top of the list, we have Senate Bill 257, open for work session on 257.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 257 has the -2 amendment. The committee heard this on April 21st, and it's allowing the Department of Corrections to provide training to corrections officers. We had a -2 amendment, and the only change that makes from the -1 amendment that was in front of the committee last week was that it removes the training requirements that shall be consistent with the funding available in the Department of Corrections legislatively approved budget. That's line 20 through 22 in the -1 amendment. So that deletes that. That's the only change from the -1. We have no revenue impact. We do not have a fiscal statement on this bill yet.
All right. So a few of the bills that we have today, colleagues, do not have fiscals yet, but my understanding they will have them by midday. And so we have options as to whether we want to wait for them. And then to move or have motions to move the bill, or we could move to suspend the rules that have been, I guess, agreed to by the caucuses. So with that, I guess first thing we would need to do is have a motion on the -2.
Put the -2s in. Mr. Chair, I move the -2s into the main bill.
Senator Boquist moves the -2s into Senate Bill 257. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair. I'll support moving the -2 amendments in, but I have concerns overall about the bill. So I'll support moving the amendments in, but then I'll express my concerns about the bill.
All right.
Ditto.
All right. Two dittos. And any other comments?
Senator Boquist.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'm assuming this one's going to have a fiscal of some sort, it looks like.
I'm assuming it probably will, too. And my understanding is that it will be going to Ways and Means. Or it could be going to Ways and Means.
I expect this one will go to Ways and Means.
And what I would be, let's go ahead and first, let's take care of the -2s. Is there any other comments? Any objection to the -2s at this time? So ordered. So my understanding is that what we would be doing is moving this with a recommendation or no recommendation, and then with the President's office to review it to determine whether or not it needs to go to Ways and Means, since we don't have a fiscal now. If you want to wait until this afternoon when we come back in and see what the fiscal is before making that motion, we can do that. All right, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to go ahead and close the work session at this point on 257 so we can be a little bit more informed about what's happening with the fiscal. All right, so we're going to drop down to open a work session on Senate Bill 877.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 877 is the changing attorney fee awards and removal fill cases. This one has no amendment. We had a discussion about it with some questions yesterday, and so there's no revenue impact and has a minimal fiscal impact. The questions yesterday related to Senator Whitsett's questions about whether it was prevailing plaintiff or prevailing party in the federal statutes, and I think he brought some information about that. Did you want to discuss that? Or?
Thank you, Counsel. I believe you has this been distributed?
No. Do you want me to make copies of it?
Yeah, actually, my staff brought it to your staff yesterday.
Okay,
for that purpose.
That's right.
I don't know if this was emailed out to everybody.
Mr. Chair, this three-sheet handout basically points out that virtually all of the environmental laws, our public laws, the U.S. public laws, have either a prevailing party or to any party, whenever the court determines such a word is appropriate language in them. That includes the Endangered Species Act, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Resources Conservation Recovery Act, the Comprehensive Environmental Response Compensation and Liability Act, Toxic Substance Control Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act, Emergency Planning and Community Right to Know Act, and Act to Prevent Pollution from Ships, Deepwater Port Act, and Marine Protection Research and Sanctuary Act. I'm sure there are more acts, but those are the ones we found.
And just for the record, Mr. Chair, I think we all received the materials from David Moskowitz and Colin Nuda, and I think their argument was that they agree with Senator Witt said that the statutes say that, but the courts have interpreted it as prevailing plaintiffs.
Yes.
I have that from Carl Anuda, and it just states that the precise language provision is, Anna said, talks about prevailing or substantially prevailing party. I'll just put this on the record from Mr. Anuda that since citizen suits to help enforce environmental laws are encouraged in order to help take the burden off the government agencies, and because of the whenever the court determines such award is appropriate language included after prevailing party, the federal courts have consistently interpreted the CWA, I'm assuming that's Clean Water Act fee shifting provision, to basically mean prevailing plaintiff. The courts have consistently held that a defendant is entitled to attorney's fees only if the plaintiff's claims were frivolous, unreasonable, or without foundation. And then there's a Ninth Circuit case, a couple of Ninth Circuit cases, and a Supreme Court case. And that's done because to treat the fee shifting provision otherwise would deter rather than encourage citizen suits. There's also a citation to some Washington law, a prevailing plaintiff fee provision in a different type of litigation, but then it states that the Washington APA, Administrative Procedure Act, I'm assuming, has a fee shifting provision which applies to the Washington SEPA, which I don't know what that is, cases and other claims against state agencies. That deals with a court shall award a qualified party that prevails in a judicial review of an agency action fees and other expenses, including reasonable attorney's fees, unless the court finds that the agency action was substantially justified. And Mr. Chair, just a follow-up too on a comment that was made yesterday about the absence of Mr. Thane Thiessen's name on the earlier litigation. He did send a clarifying email that the initial lawsuit carried the names of one of his then partners. When the case started moving forward, he took over the case as lead counsel, but his name wasn't on the opinion that was referenced yesterday, but he was involved in the case. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And for the record, Mr. Chair, that satisfies my question.
That's what?
For the record, that satisfies my question that actually he had taken over the case for Ed Sullivan in mid-course.
Okay.
Not the Ed Sullivan from television.
Oh, bummer.
The Ed Sullivan.
The one that David Letterman had the show on.
Mr. Chair, and I just have to point out for the record, I actually know something that Senator Bonamici doesn't. It's a revised code of Washington, is RCW, by the way, because it's a Washington statute. But I just want to emphasize that since I've worked on environmental laws, including NEPA, which, by the way, does not have citizen suits provision because it's actually suing the government. It's not suing prevailing parties. If there was always that burden as written in the law, then we would not have any citizen suits because there would be too much, in my view, a chilling effect. And we do rely on citizens for enforcement of many of our environmental laws because we don't have the resources in order to go out and do the enforcement, and that is my understanding in looking at the legislative history for the Clean Air and Clean Water Act about why the citizen suits provisions were put in there.
And Mr. Chair, just for the record, I asked DOJ this question because I wasn't sure of the answer, and they said that the federal rule is that prevailing plaintiff wins, but that's in a citizen suit case, but in an APA case, not necessarily.
All right, so we've got enough stuff on the record, and the chair is willing to take a motion regarding 877.
Mr. Chair, I move 877 to the Senate Bill 877 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Discussion besides what we've put on the record. Any objection to 877 moving forward? Let the record reflect that Senator Boquist and Senator Wissett are objecting. And with that, so ordered. And Senator Dingfelder or Senator Bonamici, which of you two?
Senator Dingfelder has sponsored the bill, Mr. Chair.
All right, Senator Dingfelder, you'll be the carrier on the bill. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 877.
We're in the dash.
And we're going to go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 728.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 728 replaced Senate Bill 285. It was a gut and stuff, and now it has a dash 3 amendment. The last time we saw this was April 23rd. And it requires the State Board of Pharmacy to classify marijuana as a Schedule 2 through 5 controlled substance, and it requires the State Board of Pharmacy to classify methamphetamine as a Schedule 1 controlled substance. The classification must occur no later than 180 days after the effective date. We have a dash 3 amendment that, which makes this addition, that if there's a controlled substance in Schedule 4, if you're it's unlawful for a person currently to manufacture or deliver a controlled substance, and any person who violates this subsection with respect to a Schedule 4 controlled substance is guilty of a Class B misdemeanor. However, if that results in death, they are guilty of a Class C felony, and Class C felony is $125,000 fine and 5 years imprisonment. So it's that part that if the Schedule 4 results in death, they are guilty of a Class C felony. That's the new part, and that's based on the original bill. 728.
Yeah, and I want to put also on the record, this was Senator Farioli's bill for his constituents. You probably remember the testimony of the, I think it was the mother and wife of the individual. The one part that needs to be on the record, not only does it have to result in the death, but it says, for the purposes of this subsection, causation is established when the controlled substance plays a substantial role in the death of any person. And so that is going to modify and limit its application. Senator Farioli and I discussed this and wanted to make certain that there was a causation to the actual delivery of the substance to the death. And so that's on the record now. So at this point, the chair will take a motion for the dash 3.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash 3s.
Senator Boquist moves the dash 3s into Senate Bill 728. Any discussion?
Okay, Mr. Chair, at some point, Anna can explain all these classes and schedules to me so I understand them.
I'll let Shannon do that.
All right. So we can do that off the record, right?
Yeah. Okay. I need an education, Mr. Chair.
We'll do this shortly. All right. Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, move the dash 3 to the floor with the
I'm sorry. We don't have a fiscal yet for the dash 3, so this one will have to wait. It had a minimal fiscal on the dash 2, so
all right. So, colleagues, again, we could suspend rules and move these if we want to.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the suspend rules.
Right.
I move SB 728 to the floor as amended by the dash 3 with a due pass.
All right. First of all, Senator Boquist has moved to suspend the rules to allow us to take a vote on moving the Senate Bill 728 as amended to the floor. Is there any objection to suspending the rules? So ordered. And Senator Boquist has just moved Senate Bill 728 as amended by the dash 3s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I support the bill, and we'll be voting that way. I do want to say that it seems a little odd to be in a situation of telling the State Board of Pharmacy how to classify something, but since they haven't done something that they should have done, I'm willing to take that chance and support this bill to send that message that the reclassification needs to be done. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Just for the record, seeing that the Dash 2 didn't have had a minimal fiscal, I don't believe that the Dash 3 will have any other than a minimal fiscal.
I agree. I think based on the addition of the Dash 3s and with the narrowness of the with the causation needing to be substantial, that it will be little to none that we'll see in the future. Any other discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And Senator Farioli and myself will co-carry 728 on the floor. And I will close the work session on Senate Bill 728. And I will open up a work session on Senate Bill 797.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 797 is the bill from the Department of Justice. It changes the Consumer Protection and Education Revolving Account to the Department of Justice Protection and Education Revolving Account. The original bill adds civil rights lawsuits and criminal environmental lawsuits to antitrust lawsuits and consumer protection suits that are funded by the account. It has a Dash 6 amendment, and that basically removes the civil rights lawsuits, and that caps the account and makes limitations on spending money and sets out provisions where the money goes directly to the general fund. The Legislative Fiscal Office strongly recommends this be sent to Ways and Means. We just got, right now, a Dash 6 fiscal statement. It looks like it is an explanatory statement, and I think it is indeterminate.
Right. And who was, you said fiscal makes a strong recommendation?
Yes, fiscal, okay. Strongly recommended.
All right, so the chair would entertain a motion regarding the Dash 6.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 6 amendments into Senate Bill 797.
All right, Senator Dingfelder moves Senate, your color coded. It's a color coded. Right. Senate Bill 7-6 into 797. Any discussion, Senator Von Meachie?
A question maybe of counsel on that. It's been a while since we heard the testimony on this, but it's my understanding that the funds are going to be from restitution, refunds, that type of thing.
Also lawsuits.
Not general fund money? Is that
the funds into the account are from their what they make in litigation,
right,
basically.
Right.
And that they say they eat what they kill.
Right.
So they don't get the money from the general fund. This allows it to go back to the general fund part of it. Attorney General Kroger came in and talked about how he wanted to give some money back to the general fund, but they didn't have the.
And I haven't seen the fiscal, but I'm.
No, and we just received it and handed it over.
Thank you.
Just for clarification, so that's why it's going to Ways and Means, because it doesn't utilize general fund money, but it actually deposits money into general fund. Is that correct?
It authorizes for that to occur.
Okay. And the fiscal office did share with me that they have a problem with the constant allocation. They want to see an allotment every year. And they
I see. Okay, this confirms that it's self-supporting, has not relied on the general fund, funded by various suits or actions.
Fred Boss is here from DOJ if you have further questions.
Mr. Chair, would you like a motion?
Right now, we have a motion right now on the Dash 6.
Okay.
And we're waiting for the discussion to complete. I know Senator Wissett wants to say something.
Okay. Yes, thank you, Chair Przanski. I won't be supporting this today. I don't think this is the time to build in new programs, and also the Department of Justice has since 2005, in rough figures, their general fund allotment has gone up about 90%, and their other funds allotment has gone up about 80%. And of course, their other funds is just another agency's general fund. So, if they need to do this program, I think they should do it within their own current cash flow. And secondly, I'm not sure we need to be developing a new program in these times. So for those reasons, I won't be supporting it.
Okay. Senator Bowman, do you have anything else?
No, thanks.
All right, so we have a motion before us on adopting the Dash 6 and the Senate Bill 797. Is there any other discussion? And besides Senator Wissett, is there any other objection? So be so ordered. And at this point, it appears that the motion should be what are recommendations going to be, and also referral to raise a request for a referral to Ways and Means.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 797 as amended with the Dash 6s with the two pass recommendation, but prior referral to, is it prior referral
request
or
request a subsequent referral?
Request a subsequent referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee.
Senator Dingfelder moves Senate Bill 797 as amended by the Dash 7s. To the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent request for a referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
So clarify, is it Dash 7s or Dash 6?
Dash 6. Did I say 7?
You did. Sorry.
All right, I apologize. It's the Dash 6 that went into 797, not anything else.
Thought it was missing something.
All right. Well, you know, there's never... So it is the Dash 6. Any other comments?
Senator. Just for record, Mr. Chair, I'm not going to support it at this time due to the complexity and my lack of understanding, but when it comes back out, I'll give it consideration.
All right. All right. Any others? With that,
we have two.
I'm going to ask Senator Wissett. I just want to clarify, since you objected to the Dash 6 being adopted in, are you also objecting to it?
Objecting to it.
All right. So let the record reflect that we have a 3-2 vote, Senator Boquist and Senator Wissett opposing the motion of moving the bill to the floor with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 797. And we will open up a work session on Senate Bill 618.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 618 is Council Taylor's bill, and I'm not very familiar with it. I know that the committee adopted the Dash 4 amendments already. It looks like it's exempts from disclosure of public records pertaining to an individual's discharge from military service. I know that there has been a fiscal impact requested and revenue impact requested on the Dash 4, but we do not know the status and when we might receive those.
Mr. Chair, I move we suspend the rules and to move this to the floor without a fiscal statement.
All right,
I don't see that it's going to impact us.
Senator Boquist moves for a suspension of the rules to allow us to consider moving Senate Bill 618 to the floor. Is there any objection to the motion to suspend the rules? Not seeing any, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, move SB 618 to the floor as amended with the Dash 4.
Did we already adopt the Dash 4?
You did.
Senator Boquist moves Senate Bill 618 as previously amended by the Dash 4s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any questions or comments? Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
And Senator Boquist will be the carrier on 618. We'll close the public hearing, or excuse me, the work session on 618. And notes. And we're going to go ahead and open up a, open up a work session on Senate Bill 284.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 284 is the statute of ultimate repose bill. This was before the committee in Senate Bill 307. We changed the bill to Senate Bill 284 to allow some more amendments into it that had a better relating to clause. The Dash 13 amendment increases the statute of ultimate repose for product liability actions to 10 years, or the statute of ultimate repose of the state in which the product was manufactured or imported, whichever is later. Exempts manufactured homes, applies to causes of action arising after the effective date, exempts physicians unless involved in manufacture or design of the product, exempts product liability actions from damages from the halide or mercury vapor light bulbs from being subject to any statute of ultimate repose, applies retroactively to the halide and mercury vapor light bulbs product liability suits. We just received a fiscal statement. It's indeterminate, and it has no revenue impact. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
The chair would
entertain a motion regarding the Dash 13.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the Dash 13 amendments into Senate Bill 284.
Senator Dingfelder moves the Dash 13 amendments into Senate Bill 284. Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Boqvist.
I'm going to be in no vote temporarily until I have more time to study this, because we're at the 13 now and right. The various combinations.
All right, so I'm going to put on the record my understanding what this is going to do is going to take our current level for ultimate repose of statute of limitations from 8 years to 2 years. To 10 years, and it's going to also allow for what's known as a look away. So Oregonians who are filing product liability suits against manufacturers from other states or outside of the country would be able to look to the state of manufacturing or the state of importation of those foreign goods to determine what their ultimate repose statute of limitation is and be able to use that within the process. It also applies to wrongful death in the same way. The other parts that are in the bill, if you remember, we had testimony during the primary bill, which was 307, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. that dealt with the teachers who were injured by these mercury halogen lights, and it would allow them, as we've seen the legislature do previously, mm-hmm. to carve out and allow plaintiffs or individuals injured in that type of accident who meet the criteria as set forth to go forward to seek relief from the injuries they received.
And Mr. Chair, for the record, I mean, the A3 was the physician portion, which I was kind of neutral on, and the original A4 was an A5, dealt with the manufactured homes, and Section 11, of course, is the portion dealing with the light bulbs, which I totally support. So, again, I'm just going to have to study the bill before we get to the floor.
No, I fully appreciate that. So, any other comments?
I have a question, Mr. Chair. On the look-away provision, would somebody please clarify if the intent of that is for the injured party to apply the statute of limitations in the state where the product was manufactured here in Oregon, or they would be permitted to go to the other state, as Stephen Sharp had to do. He went to Wisconsin. So is it the intent that in Stephen Sharp's type situation, for example, that he would look to Wisconsin for their statute of ultimate repose if the product was manufactured there, but still be able to bring his case in Oregon, or would a plaintiff need to go? Okay, thank you. And the other question I had, Mr. Chair, was with regard to the choice of law issue. We had a comprehensive sort of choice of law bill updating our current laws on that. I believe I carried that on the floor, Mr. Chair, but I haven't had an opportunity to go back. I would want to make sure that I know that legislative council makes sure that things are consistent, but I would want to make sure that that bill didn't negate what we're attempting to do here with the look-away provision. Thank you.
Last question, Mr. Chair. Just for clarification, and mind you, I'm not the lawyer here, so under normal law, are we codifying look away? I thought you could go to the state of manufacture where there was nexus. Can't we kind of do that now, and we're just codifying it if you're doing a look away, or we can't do the look away now?
Senator Boqvist, if you could use that state, if you brought the lawsuit in that state, this allows, like Senator Bonamici said, that you could use the statute of ultimate repose for the other state if it was manufactured in the other state, but in Oregon.
Good follow-up question. So what we're saying is that it's kind of like the existing law, except we don't have to go to Alabama, as example, to file the suit in Alabama. We can file it in Oregon using Alabama's statutory framework or repose.
Their timeline.
Okay, got it.
Right, got it. All right, thank you.
Stephen Sharp. Mr. Chair, Stephen Sharp had to go to Wisconsin to bring his case.
So we're basically bringing
him. Get a better understanding.
Right. And my understanding for Senator Bonamici is that legislative council will, in fact, do a cross-check to make certain that the intended purposes of both those bills do not conflict and would write whatever conflict amendments. And I assume Dave Hendricks is our legislative counsel is listening to us now, and I know that he's got these down in his notes already. All right.
Mr. Chair, I think I was doing the staff work on that bill while we were doing the amendments on this, so I was kind of thinking
that's the one
of those two. I think they didn't conflict.
I think it might be all right.
All right. So, any other discussion?
I'll be holding off my support as well until I have more time to study it and consult with people.
All right. With that, the objections to be noted is Senator Boquist and Senator Wissett are reserving, are opposing the bill at this point, reserving their right to change their positions before the floor vote based on their review of the bill and getting a better understanding. So with that...
Have we had a motion?
She has the dash six.
Yes.
We need a motion on the dash six.
Okay, so first of all,
Wait a minute. Dash 13.
Dash 13.
Yep. Motion on the dash 13.
We're not going there yet.
And that's my lucky number.
So what we have before us is the dash 13 for adoption. My understanding, based on what we've heard at this point, we have the votes that are necessary to move the dash 13s into the primary bill, Senate Bill 284.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 284 as amended with the dash 13s to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Any other discussion or comments? And my understanding, the vote will be the same. Senator Boquist and Senator Wissett are withholding their vote or opposing the motion at this point until they have an opportunity to fully appreciate what the dash 13s do and make a determination at the time of the floor vote. So with that, so order, and the chair will carry Senate Bill 284 as amended by the dash 13s to the floor. All right, let's close this set.
Yes.
And the remaining one that we have on our schedule for this morning is, I'm going to go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 971.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 971, we heard on April 17th. For some reason, I think we heard this yesterday, too. It requires full reimbursement to government agencies by the subsequent employing agency. We had a dash 2 amendment in front of us, and this dash 3 amendment just changed the definition of training costs. They have been changed to only include salary and benefits paid to the employee while training, and the equipment part of the definition has been deleted. So the reimbursement will not cover equipment, and it will cover salary and benefits only during training. This has no revenue impact, and we had a fiscal statement issued on the dash 2, but we don't have a fiscal on the dash 3 yet.
I have a question.
All right. Senator Dingfelder.
I can make a motion first if you'd like.
Yes, let's do the motion on the dash 3s.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the dash 3 amendments into Senate Bill 971.
All right. Senator Dingfelder moves the dash 3s into Senate Bill 971. Discussion.
I had a question, Mr. Chair, was regarding salary. I see that equipment was removed. And since I'm just having a chance to look at it, I think there was a question about salary as well.
Yeah, let me just tell you what it says here. When you look at lines on the amendment, line 8 and 9, it says cost of salary and benefits paid to the employee during training. My understanding is basically these individuals that are sent to DPSST, are their salary and benefits are paid while they are in training for that 16 weeks that they go through. And the intent, from my understanding, on the dash 3s is to allow for those payments or compensation to be recouped from the, on a pro rata basis, from the governmental entity that hires an individual within that time frame for the pro rata distribution.
We have a follow-up question. What about the term in here, but are not limited to? So that was a question I had.
And can you just put that on the records to where you're reading that?
Line 8, under Section 1, under training costs, the definition, because it says means training expenses paid for by an employing governmental agency that include but are not limited to. So what else would that include then? That was the part that I just had a question about. Doesn't that open it up to other things that could be included in there?
It could. Joe?
Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Joel Fisher, policy advisor to Senator Joanne Bridger, District 5. When I've been working with different agencies and how they calculate training costs, it typically includes, as we said before, things like salary and benefits, paid while being while people are being trained, and sometimes will include things like backfill of those positions, overtime for employees covering those positions while employees are at training. So stated the the general things, but have left it some flexibility. I found that most of the people I've been talking to about training costs have a pretty reasonable and limited view of what their training costs are, but didn't want to completely limit what they might view as training costs.
All right. Other comments? Any other questions? All right, we have a motion before us to adopt the Dash 3 agenda, Senate Bill 971. Is there any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move.
No, we don't have a fiscal on this.
Oh, okay.
It was indeterminate in the Dash 2 amendment.
Okay. Okay, so you want to wait until we reconvene?
Indeterminate. It will be the same fiscal.
We are coming back this afternoon. At this point, based on my schedule or agenda, it looks like 257, we need to come back once we get the fiscal on that.
And just a question or a clarification, Mr. Chair, regarding the fiscal. It's indeterminate to the state, but there will be impacts to local government.
There could be.
There could be.
It's indeterminate because depending on whether someone is actually hired within that frame and at to what level, you know, the pro rata would be. Okay. But, yeah.
Follow, Mr. Chair, and if someone, if a state agency poached one of these people, there would be a fiscal to the state too.
Could be. Yep. All right. So, do we want to hold this one until this afternoon, just to see?
I prefer that, since we're coming back anyway.
Yep. Right. Yeah. All right. So, at this point, we've adopted the Dash 3s and the 871.
971.
Excuse me, 971, and this one's going to be held over. So, at this point, we have two bills that I, based on my calculations, that are still in play for consideration. That's Senate Bill 257 and Senate Bill 971 as amended. The Dash 2s went into 257 and were adopted, and the Dash 3s went into 971 and were adopted. So with that, we're going to recess, and we're going to recess until 215.
We have hearing room C at 2:15. I know Senator Dienfelder is in Ways and Means until 2:30, so we want to make it.
I was going to say, if we can make it 2:30,
if we can make it 2:30,
you think we can do two bills in a half an hour? Hopefully.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to recess until 2:30 this afternoon. My understanding, we will be in hearing room C, as in Charlie or Charlene, depending on who's wanting to
or
know.
Our chair.
Our chair.
Chocolate.
That's chocolate. There we go. There's a common denominator. And with that, we'll be in recess until 2:30 this afternoon in hearing room, and reconvene in hearing room C. Thank you.